Right. So peace in the midst of a conflict is something you've got to be able to do if you're going to stay married.
Say that again.
Peace in the midst of conflict. Because conflict is going to happen.
Yeah. It's inevitable.
It's all of that.
Inevitable.
Mm-hmm.
Why you?
Did I say it wrong?
All of it. No. Oh. I mean, you said it like I said it wrong or something.
I did it. It's inevitable. I said all of that.
It's inevitable, yeah.
It's inevitable that we're going to have conflict. You know why?
Conflict and strife.
Because we're two people.
Right.
So if you're not the same person, stuff that bothers me doesn't bother him. Stuff that bothers him doesn't bother me. We're different. So even if we get along, even if we're best friends, there's still going to be conflict. But now, some people have conflict and then they have silence. And let me just, silence is not peace necessarily. It's the beginning of it. It may be a strategy to get there. But don't confuse silence with peace. Because for a long time, we did the silent act.
I mean, you can try silence if you want to, but that don't work. It don't work, and it don't last long.
No.
The one thing I figured out, and I was the one that didn't like, I mean, I didn't like conflict, so I really wouldn't talk because you did all of that. And so I wouldn't talk, but the situation never would be resolved. And so in the midst of it, it was a learning process of understanding. That's probably when God was really showing me to listen to the heart, you know what I mean? And not really necessarily the way it was being presented, but just listening to the heart, and that what you were saying is coming from the heart. And so when I started thinking about that, and I found the scripture in Philippians 4:7, and I'm gonna read it out of the NIV because it gives me a little better thing. It says, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." So if you're looking for the peace of God, it comes through Christ that lives inside of you. If you're saying that Jesus is your Lord and Savior and Christ lives inside of you, it gives you the ability, listen to what I'm saying, to get your mind right.
Mm.
Because the peace starts right here. You have to have your mind right to understand the situation that you're in. You're not going to be able to avoid conflict, period.
Nope.
But you can have the right frame of mind in the conflict.
Oh, that's
you good. Can right have the right heart posture in the conflict. And so this thing says it, which transcends all understanding. So this piece goes past your piece. It goes past your understanding. You can't even comprehend how you can have peace in grief. You can have peace in turmoil. You can have peace in a conflict. You can have peace in a bad situation.
Right.
It's because you have literally tapped into the Christ that lives inside of you that takes you out of your natural and take you into the spiritual aspect of who you are to be able to handle the situation.
Right.
Handle the conflict, handle the strife, handle whatever the turmoil that you in. It says, understand it will guard this guards your mind and it guards your heart. Because when you get into a conflict, how often do you think about what you want to say, how you want to say it, what you want to do? You better, you so much goes on in your mind.
Right.
But once that stuff gets into your heart, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth is going to speak it. So the enemy is constantly trying to take your piece of your mind.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't think properly.
Right.
So you thinking about this conflict and you want to say something negative.
Right. So if there's conflict in a marriage,
uh-huh,
then peace is what will neutralize it.
Right. That's how you get harder. You have the strife in your mind and the conflict in your mind constantly, and you holding on to it, then all of a sudden it seeps into your heart and you get hard-hearted. But to beat that is what you just said.
Right. To neutralize the conflict.
Yeah.
because it's peace in the midst of the conflict. And key to that is in the midst of. Mm-hmm. Don't continue on the conflict mm-hmm. or road of quarreling, waiting for, because what most of us do, it's very natural, what most of us do is we just keep going in the conflict, waiting for the other person to either back down or say we're right. Mm-hmm. And how often does that happen?
Well, some people get it like, oh, yeah, you good, you right, you straight, you did it, you good, you're perfectly right to do what?
And that is the unhealthy silence.
Right.
So we're not looking for silence or even stopping.
Right.
We're looking for peace.
In the midst of it.
In the midst of it.
Because you're going to go through it. You have to practice. And the enemy is gives you practice all the time. You might have a conflict on your job. You might have a conflict in your home.
Yep.
You might have the conflict, you know, with your neighbors. You're going to have some type of conflict.
Yes, no matter what.
Thank you. So how are you going to do, how are we dealing with it? Today is the day we got to come up with some strategies.
Yes.
To have peace. Because everybody wants some peace.
And that scripture is making the declaration and realizing that I have to change my mind. And this is not easy. I've got to change my mind versus trying to change their mind. If my mind
is
lined up, so I've got to change my mind. Okay. If my mind, if my mind is lined up with the will of God and the word of God, mm-hmm. then I personally can bring peace into the midst of a conflict. But I can tell you the spirit of a quarreling spirit can really come in if I just keep going and keep going and keep going. And what I really want to do is share my feelings. What I really want to do is explain myself. That there's nothing wrong with that. Mm-hmm. That there's nothing wrong with that. It's just that there's a right time and a wrong time to explain yourself.
For how long?
In the midst of conflict, I can tell you as a counselor, that's not the right time. It's really because a lot of times your emotions, your tone, your body language, and your ability to speak appropriately is literally gone. It's literally gone. So because of that, because it's gone, then you miss out on being able to explain yourself well or for that person to receive you well.
Amen.
So you got to have peace. So you bring peace into it. Now, how does that work? That usually means somebody has to take the high road.
Somebody got to be the peacemaker. I mean, that's part of our job is to be a peacemaker.
It is.
That's who Jesus was. He was a peacemaker. And so in the midst of these conflicts, who's going to be the peacemaker? Once again, you're not going to do this in your own natural mind. This thing tells you, it transcends your understanding. Philippians 4:7, it says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding.
All
understanding. So you can't even understand it's how we practice it to be able to at least get some type of idea of how this thing works. He gives us scriptures of us being a peacemaker, us, you know, wanting to do the right thing.
Right.
So all of these scriptures that we have and we look at, it helps us to form the place of being able to adapt in the conflict,
sure.
Adapt in the situation. Because if we don't be an example of peace, then where is the peace going to come from?
Right. And wouldn't it be, it's also always great if both people are doing the same thing.
That would be nice.
But either way, only one person is necessary to bring peace, because you cannot argue in the midst of peace.
Yeah.
When you're going back and forth with someone and they're in a state of peace, eventually there's nothing you can do.
Get angrier. When you just, I'm like, dude, stop talking. And you just,
I thought you meant angrier when the person brings peace.
Well, I did. That's what I'm saying. When you used to talk so much, I was getting angry. But then when you stopped, and I'm like, da 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 da, and you just, you want something to eat? What the heck? Or I apologize. Oh, that one used to get me all the time. A conflict, or I'm doing something. That's like when I first came back. I mean, well, one of them times when I came back and I was trying to, you were so at peace with doing God's will. You right. wanted to do it God's way. You had made up your mind that that's what you was going to do. So you weren't going to show any of the stuff that you used to. And I used to try to antagonize you to act, to see if you gonna actually do it. But you was at such a peace with, it doesn't even matter how you respond to me. It doesn't matter how you act. I'm going to respond in a kind, gentle, and a peaceful way. And that thing, I didn't understand it, but it bothered me because, and I don't even know why it bothered me. And so when you're talking about being in a place of strife, and when you get into a place of peace, you cause the other person to literally not even understand why they do what they do.
Yeah, I think the reason why it causes a questioning, because when another person brings peace into the midst of something, into the midst of quarreling or arguing, then you, all of a sudden, you can't even deny that you're the person bringing the strife.
Yeah.
Because when strife goes back and forth, no one can say, well, you need to do this. Well, you're doing this. Once you go back and forth, you justify. But when one person brings peace, now peace has to be already on the inside of you. Like, you don't just bring it from nowhere. So the goal is to get in a place of peace outside of an argument, be in peace at all times, pursue peace, things that the word of God, speak peace over yourself. And then you literally bring it into the conversation. You bring it into the conflict. And then all of a sudden neutralizes it. And then the other person can start to hear themselves.
And it's more like being Christ-like.
Absolutely.
So you're literally being transformed from your old place to the new. But you're doing it in Christ that resides inside of you, because that's where that's coming from.
Right.
That's not going to come from your flesh. Sorry. Your flesh is going to go roll the head, point the fingers, roll the eyes. Facial expression is going to do all of that stuff. And it's going to make it look like you don't even know who Christ is.
Right.
And so it's the Christ that's inside of you. And it has to be worked on daily, because you have, like you said, you have to actually utilize or bring the peace, you know, declare over yourself, I got the peace in my mind, peace in my heart, because if it says it guards your mind and it guards your heart, so you can literally speak over your mind.
Right.
You know, I'm gonna have a peace in my mind. My mind is not going to be tormented. My mind is not going to be aggravated. My mind is not going to be wandering. My mind is not going to be upset. And my heart is not going to be hard. It's not going to be tormented. It's not going to have trauma because of the conversations that is getting ready to happen or is happening.
Right.
And you can literally be saying that to yourself, because under your breath, because you're trying to subdue your flesh. Yes. And allowing your spirit man to rise up, allowing Christ to rise up in you and not be fazed by the conflict or the situation.
And what it also does, it allows you to hear God in the midst of confusion. Because what most of us do is we get into an argument, and I don't know about you, but we've gotten into arguments, especially years ago. And you walk away. And if you're honest, especially if you're saved, if you know God, you walk away and God is like, you shouldn't have done this. This was out of order. This was inappropriate. You know, vengeance belongs to me. You're still bitter. I mean, all the things that you know to do. But in the midst of the argument, that kind of stuff doesn't matter. It's like, I don't care. I'm going to say this. I don't care. I'm going to respond like this. Yeah. I don't care. I'm going to call you a name. I don't care. I'm going to get loud. Like, you know that that's inappropriate. And when you walk away, you're like, oh, why did I do that? Oh, then you start justifying, but your flesh takes over. When peace is at the forefront of your mind, once peace is at the forefront of your mind, then You can hear God say, respond like this. Watch your words. Watch your mouth. Watch your facial expressions. You can literally hear Holy Spirit leading and guiding you. But if you're in it and you have conflict, because vengeance does belong to the Lord, God says, I'll repay. This is not for you to do. This is not your fight. This is not the way I expect you to behave. This is not the way I expect you to act. You will have your opportunity to share, either share your thoughts and emotions or pray about it. Because you can't guarantee that someone's going to listen to your thoughts. You know, we want to say that, oh, you're going to listen to me. I want to get louder. And then, you know, all of that. Here's the deal. They probably don't hear you anyway. Because most people, if they're in conflict, all they're doing is thinking of their next statement.
Yeah, they're not
hearing what you're saying. So peace allows you to hear God, and it allows you to hear the other person's heart.
Yeah.
And maybe you can find some of what they're trying to explain to you.
That's true.
You can really find it and think, you know what? I hadn't thought about that. You know what? I didn't think about it that way. You know what? You might be right. But only if there's peace in your heart and in your mind brought into the midst of the conflict can you hear that.
And once again, that's going to take work, because if you've been in a place where you've always clapped back or responded back quickly or have a quarreling spirit. Some of that stuff is generational. Yeah. You just like to argue. You know what I mean? You don't mean to argue, but soon as it click, you 100 already. And it's hard to slow yourself down or bring yourself back into it. But it just takes practice of how do I manage or control myself? Because you can't control the other person.
Right.
That's the problem. We want to control the other person with how loud we talk, how fast we talk, what we say, you know, because you're trying to hurt them, or you're trying to out-talk them, or you're trying to over-talk them. You know, always something to do with getting back at the other person. But the objective is to be able to control your own self.
Ooh.
Control your own mind. Control your own heart. Control your own actions. And then that allows you to be able to have a different place in the conflict.
Right.
You can't be in the conflict and look just like the other person or sound like the other person.
Ooh.
That's going to stay a conflict.
Right.
And if you have conflict and you've never had conflict resolution,
mm-hmm.
you find yourself in conflict all the time. But when you literally start to hear a conflict or recognize, well, again, this is a conflict. Okay. Let me be the one. Let me practice being the peacemaker. Let me practice keeping my mind at peace,
yeah.
keeping my heart at peace. Let me see if the scripture works when it says a soft answer turns away wrath. Let me use what I actually know. Beside, I know these scriptures and I got to wait till it's all said and done and all kind of words have been said. Now everybody walks away and God starts speaking to you like what you just said. You know that wasn't right. You know, you shouldn't have said that. You know, you shouldn't have done this. You know, you this, and this, and this. But in your flesh saying, I don't care. Your right. words going to say, I don't care. That don't mean nothing. But that you heard what she or he said to me. You see how they treat me. You see how they respond to me. You see they don't love me. They just disrespect me. They don't honor me. And now you having to get delivered from all of that and the spirit of offense, because now every time someone says, you know, can I talk to you? Your mind goes to conflict. Your mind goes to strife. So now yeah. you're going to be offended. And so now that's got into your heart.
True.
Does that make sense?
I'm hoping. We want it to make sense in the sense of taking a deep breath. Like, let's give some strategies. You can take a deep breath and start to think. You can really take a deep breath. Now, we've done it all. Like, so sometimes you can take a deep breath and your deep breath is just disrespectful.
Your facial expressions shows it all. When you take that deep breath, your facial expressions show it all. And like, you just do that one again. Yeah, that.
Don't do that.
That's so disrespectful.
That's not that's not bringing peace.
You could have kept that.
Yeah, I like it.
I know.
It's aggravating. You like, because what you want, the human body or the human flesh wants the person to feel the same way they feel.
Yeah, but
so unfortunately, that's not going to minister. And unfortunately, it's not going to bring peace. Someone has to take a nice deep breath, one that's respectful and one that is not aggravating or frustrated.
You know what? Oh, Jesus, this is so good that you did. So when you had a conflict, and you did it one time, and I you start asking me to repeat back what you said.
Yeah.
So when you get into a conflict and you know that you're getting ready to, you know, go get at 100. So you ask a question as, so excuse me, but what you're saying is such and such and such.
Repeating
it. So now you're not being offended by what is actually being said, and they would realize that you're trying to understand what they're saying. You're paying attention. So now you're literally putting the water on this fire, because now it's not like you're not paying attention or you're not willing to understand the other person's perspective or feelings. And also it gives you ability to now not have torment in your mind in regards to what the person is saying, because now you're focusing on internalizing it and now being able to repeat it back to them, even in their words or even in your own words. Now you're building strategies, yeah, not to get mad, and not to be angry.
And most of the time you'll find out you didn't understand.
Exactly.
Most of the time they'll say, no, not quite. Or no, that's not what I meant. Or did I say that? I really meant this. Because if the other person is frustrated, they may have said something they didn't even realize they said. Okay, so let me make sure I understand. Yeah. Let me make sure I hear what you're saying. You're saying, and then you repeat it.
Yeah.
It can neutralize.
No, I remember the time when you said, can you tell me what I just said? And I tell you, because I'm hearing it from the spirit of offense.
Yeah.
I'm already mad. I'm already angry. So when she asked me to repeat back what she said, and I say what I thought I heard her say, and she would look at me like, I said none of that. That was not what I said, and it was definitely not what I meant. And I'm like, that's what I heard.
Okay, I apologize.
Okay, well, that was years later when we got to that place.
Oh.
And you were like, what? I didn't say that. And I'm like, okay. But it took years to actually get into this place where strategies were starting to be built to handle communication. Why do you think the enemy uses conflict and strife and all of that to hinder communication? If you can't agree and you can't come together, then the first thing he's going to cause is your communication to have strife, to have conflict. He doesn't like relationships,
nope.
Period.
Well,
he wants you to be isolated.
Well, because he knows the power of agreement.
Of course.
See, the power of agreement gives you multiplication in your declarations. It gives you multiplication in your prayer, any type of agreement.
Yeah.
So how can two walk together unless they agree? So we got to get to a point of agreement so that you can have the power. Well, Satan is afraid of the power.
Yeah.
Once we have oneness, oh my Lord, we can literally take over the enemy. So division is the goal. We've got to realize peace will neutralize division also. So having these conversations, asking someone to repeat, calming yourself down, taking deep breaths, praying for yourself, and having your own self-control. Because this is what many people do. be quiet and listen. You want to tell the other person to use self-control, even though we might not have.
Those will be the wrong words to use.
It doesn't work.
It does not work. If you want the strike to continue, you go ahead and say that. You go ahead and keep trying to change the other person instead of working on yourself. Ooh-wee. You're the game changer. You change the thermostat. Change everything. You don't stop thinking about the other person so much and think about how you can change the environment, right. How you can change the temperature, how you can change the resolve the conflict. How can you do it? Right. The mindset that the flesh is telling you, look, they, them. Always looking at the other person and never internalizing, how can I change the game? How can I change the situation? What strategies that I can use? And but you know what the flesh is gonna say? But what are they gonna do? Why don't have to work on nothing?
Well, and that is a immature, a Christ-like immature statement, because it's not based on what the other person does. It's only based on what we do. And is it possible that you could be the peacemaker all the time? Yes. Mm-hmm. But blessed are the peacemaker.
Yep.
They're going to see God. So if I'm going to be the peacemaker, I'm going to be blessed. Oh, wait a minute. Because God knows once a person brings in peace, he can enter in.
Yeah.
So he blesses the person who brings the peace. So if you want to bless your marriage, you want to bless your union, you want to bless yourself, be the peacemaker that's being used in every situation. Eventually, I can tell you, I promise you, it does get contagious. But a lot of people don't wait because I was the peacemaker last time, so you be the peacemaker this time. No, it doesn't work that way. I am going to answer.
We all should be the peacemaker all the time.
But if you're not... But if you are the peacemaker and the other person, let's say the other person's not saved, let's say the other person's not mature, let's say the other person doesn't want to do it, it doesn't matter.
At all.
It doesn't matter. Because our goal is to please God. Our goal is to understand peace can surpass our understanding, and I'm going to be blessed because I'm going to bring the peace. So here's a storm, let me be the peace. Now, outside of an argument or outside of the midst of a storm, that could be separation, that could be argument, that could be conversation about divorce, it could be anything, financial ruin, all kinds of things can be a storm or conflict. But work on your own heart so that the next time there's a conversation, there may not even be any conflict. If you can't have a conversation with the person, you got to have a conversation with God or another person.
Yeah.
Because if you hold things in, eventually it will come out. It will, you know, because people think, oh, does that mean I can't speak my mind or tell my side of the story? Maybe not in that moment. Yeah. Maybe you write it in a journal. We're given all kinds of strategies here. Do you write in a journal and get it out? You talk to God and get it out. You confide in a friend appropriately, because don't make one situation even worse by saying, okay, here's this situation and dishonor your spouse. But you want to get rid of, I am feeling. So another strategy, use I statements, not you statements. You statements often bring strife and conflict. I statements can bring in the peace. I apologize. I was feeling. I am feeling. So can I share? I felt. Don't say you made me feel that gender strife. So anything that fuels fire pushes away peace.
Because it goes right back to you can only do, you can only control your own self.
Right.
And the more you realize and the more you focus on your own self, you become the thermostat. You become the peacemaker in the home. You become the peacemaker on the job. You become the peacemaker. And God rewards you. It says blessed. you will be blessed. God will bless you. It says it transcends your own understanding. I want to make sure. Well, guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Once again, you cannot do this in your natural, no. Your flesh.
Right.
So we're talking about being able to practice bringing your flesh under, bringing your mind under, bringing your words under.
Yeah.
Bringing everything under, mm-hmm. everything that will literally cause strife or continue the strife. We have to work on bringing that under. We can't just be worried about what the other person do.
Yes.
Because let me tell you something. If your spouse don't do it anymore, somebody on your job gonna work the strife, gonna work the conflict. True. Your children gonna work the conflict or the strife.
True.
So it's gonna come from somewhere. As long as we on this earth, you are not going to avoid conflict. You're not gonna avoid strife. And you're never going to avoid a situation. Because if we did, how are we going to work what we know? How is it going to look? Jesus did not run. He didn't run away from strife. He didn't run away from situations. He went looking for them. Everywhere he went, there was a situation and he was the solution to the problem.
Right.
Are you the solution to the problem?
Jesus.
Or are you transforming to the problem? Or are you adapting to the problem? No, we're called to be the called to be the solution. Jesus was the solution. If it's saying in Christ Jesus, then okay, it's our job.
Yes.
It's our job to be the peacemaker. It's our job to make sure that we're the thermostat that we are looking for opportunity to look more like Christ.
Ooh.
An opportunity to speak soft words or a soft answer. It's our duty or our responsibility to look, sound, model, function like Christ Jesus. That's an everyday practice. That's not just, I want to do it today because I'm in a situation. You have to practice it every day.
Yes.
Every day. Being kind to people, being gentle, being understanding, being forgiving, yes. being loving, all of those things help you and allow you to be better in a conflict, be better in strife, be better in a situation. All of those things. Because the enemy is trying to take away your happiness. Yes. So now when you're in a relationship and you're not happy. Your joy. Why? Because you argue all the time. Because there's always strife. Then that's why people, the world will say, you don't need all of that. You might well go on about your business. Go and get you somebody else. Go and get something new. No. They still not going to get away from strife. They're not going to get away from conflict. So it's our job to be able to demonstrate how do we do it. Do we get it right all the time? No. Mm-hmm. But it's practice. Every day we wake up, we get an opportunity to practice this thing. And so I'm enjoying it. I like the little strategies. You know, God said, lay your head on the chest. And I lay my, because I hear the heartbeat. And see, the one thing that God told me and showed me was like, her heart is synchronized with mine. And so when I hear her heartbeat, all I hear is, is synchronized with me. And so when she has to tell me something hard, remember that? Yeah, when you say, okay, I got to tell you something hard. Are you ready? You know, I'm like, let me head down. And so then she'll tell me something hard, but she will always lay. We're talking about strategies, y'all. You know what I'm saying? We're talking about our strategies. Now, y'all got to come up with your own strategy. First of all, you got to realize you got to deal with yourself first.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had to deal with that. She had to deal with herself. I had to deal with myself. She got to hers faster than I got to mine because I didn't like her. So I was like, I don't want to do all of that. But if you ask me, how do you love her differently? How do you get to know her differently? Then that means you're going to have to hear her differently. And it took me a long time because I had to battle the spirit of offense. Every time she said, can I talk? I just felt like she was getting ready to talk about me.
Yeah, and I did.
Yeah, you did.
The thing is,
but not in all the beginning,
I did most of the
but
time.
But you know what, though? As I matured, you weren't wrong. with what you were saying.
Right.
It was like I wasn't ready to actually hear it. I wasn't prepared to be able to receive it. So it sounded like he was fault finding. And so that's when God says, ain't ready to be having that conversation. Because you had that conversation. You think you're going to, you want strife. You don't want strife. You're about to get a blown up situation. So don't open your mouth. Don't talk. And then you start asking God, when is a good time for me to say something? Yes. And then some stuff it took you years to be able to say to me, because it was something that would not only blow up, but it would be detrimental to my deliverance.
Right.
It would be detrimental to my going forward and my destiny and purpose. So you couldn't say some of that stuff. So we got to understand that we're not just saying something because we want to get it off our chest, because you don't understand what those words might do, the trauma it might cause, or the hurt it might cause, or the anger it might cause, or the altering a person's life. Because it took me a long time to be able to receive a word from her.
Yeah, so that's important to know too. So I take a deep breath, because it's hard for people to process this. Everything can't be said. It just can't. Everything can't be said. And a lot of times when we do coaching, people are like, I need to be able to say, and what about me? Nope, you've got God. You've got friends or God or whatever you got to do. But everything that I needed to say. Now, these were, I mean, obviously, if there's an emergency situation, you got to tell someone something. But I wanted to explain myself. I wanted to ask him questions. I wanted him to admit. Oh, my Lord.
That down right there.
Conflict, a lot of times, starts with someone saying, so what did you do? Or tell me you're sorry. Like, I wanted to force that on him. And it caused more conflict than good. So God would say, don't bring that up. And at first, I was on the fair thing. Well, it's not fair that he won't apologize. It's not fair that he won't admit what he did. Or he lied, and God would say, don't say anything. But that would be conflict. So God said, do you want this to be better, or do you want to be right?
That's a good one. Say that again.
Do you want to be this to be better, or do you want to be right? And then you've also heard me say, you want to be right, or you want to be righteous, because I was bringing peace. So I didn't argue with him anymore. And so for a couple of years, there were things I wanted to bring up, and God would prick me and say, not now. I'm like, well, when is it? I'll let you know. Well, I'll let you know became years in some situations, so long that when God did tell me to talk about it, I'd be like, not talking about that. No, this is going good. We're just talking about the weather. We're talking about football. We're talking about what are we going to eat for dinner. Everything's going good. I'm not going to talk about it. And then finally God said, no, at the right time, with the right tone, I will tell you when to talk about it, because it does need to be talked about. It just couldn't be talked about at the cost of his deliverance, yeah. Right? So God would say, God will measure things. I understand. I'm not ignoring your feelings, because I can heal you. So God's not ignoring my feelings. He could hear me. But let me say, he'd say, you bring that to me, because if you bring it to him, his deliverance will get held up. His deliverance might go backwards. And he would say, you've been working too hard to bring an atmosphere that's conducive for deliverance. Don't bring that up, because it's counterproductive. So if I want to improve, if I want things to be better, I still had to listen to God, and some things couldn't be discussed because it would start conflict. So we had very surface conversation, and everything else I took to God. Literally, look, what's for dinner? What do you want to watch on television? Do you want to go to the movies? I like that shirt. Like, no real conversation. No conversation about where you've been. No conversation about who you're talking to. No conversation about where that money go. All of those things were off the table for a long time. And it was because God was trying to set up deliverance more than he was trying to set up proving I was right. Mm. You know, God was like, you already know you're right. You already know he's wrong. This is not where deliverance is going to come from. Telling him he's wrong when he can't handle it, then bring peace. Do you just want to push him away? Do you want to push him back into the streets? Like, he would ask me those kinds of questions. And because I had done the work of bringing peace to my heart outside of the conflict, when I was in any kind of conflict, you know, God was like, sense when he is getting offended. Use discernment when he is getting upset. When he's getting upset, pull back. Be the peace. Be his peace. Literally bring peace into this conversation. Bring peace into the house. Bring peace into him. So therefore, I'm literally, we're having a conversation. I can sense he's getting upset. God would be like, talk about something different.
And you know, that means you had to study the person.
Yes.
That means you had to literally pay attention to the person. But when you get in conflict and strife, you don't even pay attention to any of that stuff. Because you spend more time trying to get your opinion or get your point across or get them to do. But that's the time when you have to literally study the person. You have to study the situation, study the conflict, study the strife, study the whatever it may be that you're in, not being overwhelmed by it, but study it to understand how to not be in it again.
Yeah, when there's confusion, note in that part of the conversation, kind of do a mental note. Oh, when I brought up this, there was a change in behavior. There was a change in, there was a change in him. So yeah, I did study a lot of that. And then I'd go, okay, God, what is this? Now, sometimes I already knew just by, I don't want you to know where I've been or what I'm doing. That was different. But some things, we started talking about trauma. We started talking about his growing up, those kinds of things. We could only talk about it so long. And little by little, we could discuss it, but we couldn't talk about it all along. And everything that God showed me, I had to learn. If I'm going to bring the peace, I couldn't just bring up everything God showed me. I have discernment, I have Holy Spirit, and I'm prophetic. So therefore, God's going to show me, and I'm going to see and hear all kinds of stuff. God was like, I didn't show you that to talk to him about it. I showed you that to pray. So I had to do some intercession more than conflict, because I would accuse when I found things out, and accusations don't bring peace.
No.
Accusations are very, very aggressive.
And they can literally be, you can be right.
Correct
about it. But it's, if you already have strife and conflict constantly in the relationship, there's wisdom that needs to be used on how to approach the situation.
Yes.
It's like, pursue wisdom in this. When you pursuing God, you pursuing Christ, you're pursuing the wisdom to be able to bring the peace, bring the kindness, bring the gentleness, bring the love, bringing all of, you have to carry this stuff.
Yes.
This is not something I'm just going over and pick this up today. No, we have to have, this have to be in us to allow us to be able to, Johnny on the spot.
Yeah.
I got to be kind. The Holy Spirit has already told me I'm not going to say anything to him. So I'm going to just be kind in my words. I'm not going to ask them something to make them lie, because now the lying spirit takes a stronger root. Because if they have to lie, they're going to lie. When I had to lie, I lied.
You didn't have to lie.
Well, I was lying because I was being deceitful.
Because you hadn't been delivered.
Right. I wasn't delivered, so I was lying. I mean,
but you have to.
If I couldn't control, if I was being led by deception, and that's what I, if I lied by the sky.
You did lie.
I know that.
You didn't have to. Nobody has to say.
Nobody has to lie. But if you are, if you're taking over by a lying spirit, then you, it's like the very thing that you don't want to do, you find yourself doing.
Absolutely. You do.
The very things. And
the
so,
very thing.
So we have to literally focus and work on ourselves. Right. So if we're talking about the peace in the midst of a conflict, we're talking about, can I be the peace in the midst of this conflict? Can I? You have to ask yourself that. Because if you ask yourself and you were like, I ain't been doing a good job, that means you got to practice. We all have to do it. Absolutely. And it's okay.
Yes.
It's okay that we have to practice this. It's okay. Listen, I look at it like this right here. Every day we wake up, God gives us an opportunity to practice. He gives us an opportunity to practice whatever we didn't get right.
Whatever.
We get an opportunity to practice. If it was our facial expression, he gives us opportunity. Because let me tell you something, the devil is going to always be on his job. He's going to cause a conflict. He's going to cause some type of situation. He's going to cause some type of strife because he wants to see if you're going to actually use what you know. Because if you don't use what you know, then he's going to keep doing the same thing. He's not that smart to come up with something different.
Right.
He's only going to use, but he'll use a different subject or a different person to be able to do the same thing. Mm-hmm. And you got to be, your eyes got to be open to that. Oh, devil, I know I failed it yesterday. Oh, but I'm not going to fail it this time. So I'm going to be kind. I'm going to speak with kindness. I'm going to have a soft answer. I'm not going to raise my voice. So when the person is screaming at me, I'm just speaking with a soft answer.
Yes.
Have you ever talked to a person that is screaming and you speak softly? Yep. Or are you the person that when someone is screaming, you try to scream as loud as they are? Okay. Or louder? Because you're not gonna overtalk me. Oh, you're gonna let me talk. You're gonna hear what I gotta say. And then all of a sudden your voice is gone up. How many times you've done that in your home and you got kids?
Oh Lord.
I bet you your kids can articulate or regurgitate every conflict or yelling or strifeful thing that has been said in the home because they're hearing it. They're hearing it. So if they hear somebody saying, well, dad is in there yelling, but mom is like, she's talking so soft, I can barely hear her. Or dad is speaking so soft, I can barely hear him. Somebody got to be the peacemaker. Somebody got to be the one that's the temperature, that's the thermostat. And I'm praying that we all make our adjustments, because the thermostat has to be adjusted all the time. You might be at 90, but you got to turn this thing down. Let's get to 60. Let's cool the situation now. Mm-hmm. Who's going to be the one that's going to cool the situation now? This is what we got to do. Our human nature would make us, the human flesh takes us to places where we really and truly don't want to go.
Yeah. And it's important to know, We shouldn't ask a person to do something we aren't willing to do ourselves. So if you have trouble keeping control, or if you have trouble bringing the peace, you shouldn't then expect the other person to use self-control or bring the peace. Because a lot of times, you shouldn't yell at me. Okay, well, you just yelled at him, you know, like, wait a minute.
Don't yell at me.
You shouldn't yell at me. Well, you just yelled also. Like, so, well, I'm mad. Well, so is he. Like, if you use excuses, conflict will continue. So we can't use excuses. We have to just honestly say, what does the word say? What did God say? Blessed are the peacemakers. What did God say? There can be peace that surpasses all understanding. You may not understand why you have to be peaceful, but God has a plan, and his plan is, I need there to be agreement and love. And it's hard to have agreement and love when there's conflict.
So I pray that we take the opportunity to literally practice it. And not just talk about it, but literally just practice it. And will you get it right the first time? Maybe, maybe not. But it gives you a opportunity to do it again.
Right.
And don't give up on the word, because we all can know the scripture and do it. And do we apply it all the time? Do we apply it when we feel like we want to apply it? Or when we really need to apply it is when we're in a conflict in a situation and we forget all about that scripture.
Right.
Until it's all said and done. And now God reminds you of the scripture. He reminds you of his word. So we're in this place where God is constantly giving us an opportunity to use what we know, to use his word, to understand that he's guarding our mind and our hearts.
Yep.
This piece of God, it transcends our understanding. You cannot understand, you don't have an understanding of what kind of peace God can get. I use this this example the other day in regards to grief. You know, we have a person that just lost a mother, and God is wanting them to do something, you know, the very next week, you know, for kingdom purposes. And it's like, God, the person just lost a mother. I mean, went through it with the mother. I mean, just it was a long process. And then God wants you to do something for that, for kingdom. And then you go and do it for kingdom. And it looks like, well, my God, how can a person go through this and have this much energy, this much authority, this much power, this much go in them in the midst of this?
Right.
See, that's the going transcending past your understanding, that it's the Christ that stands up inside of you, that it's none of you, and it's all of Christ that allows you to stand in the midst of someone ridiculing you. Someone is yelling at you. Someone is spitting at you. Someone is degrading you. Someone is accusing you of just horrendous stuff. And you sitting there in the midst of it, and you got a piece about yourself.
Right.
And they looking at you like, what the heck? Everybody around you is looking like, what's wrong? Why is this person looking like they have peace? Why is this person not responding or sticking up for themselves? They're keeping their mouth shut.
Mm-hmm.
And now God is using that very thing, that very facial expression, that very calmness, that very peaceful place to minister to every person that is around them, right? Even the person that is causing the conflict,
right?
Because they're not getting a response that they want. They're not getting a angry response or retaliation from it.
True.
So what are you gonna do? Are you done, sir? I'm sorry that you feel that way. I apologize. If this is how I made you feel, I surely apologize, sir.
It works.
I'm trying to tell you. Them, I apologize. Oh, I'm sorry, but man, that
when
man,
you mean it.
Yeah. You gotta have it right. So you gotta have the right mind and the right heart.
Yeah,
to be able to do it. Because
you can say
sarcasm.
I'm sorry. You can say it and it's not gonna do the same thing.
Sarcastic.
It's not gonna do the same thing. But when your heart is fixed, and so that honestly takes work. Personally, if you don't know how to pull down your strongholds, if you don't know how to deal with anger, be angry but sin not, if you don't know how to uproot bitterness, if that's what's going on, if you don't know how to forgive 70 times 7, there's work that needs to be done on the side so that when conflict arises, you can pull up those same strategies and be the peace in the midst of the conflict. It takes maturity in the spirit. It takes knowledge of spiritual warfare. Takes knowledge of your own triggers. If you know certain things are triggers, you got to stay away from those things. If the other person knows those things are triggers, you got to be prepared for those things. You can't control another person, but you can prepare. Like, I know my husband, so I know what things he was going to do and most of the things he was going to say. If I blow up today and I realize it's outside of God's will and I couldn't bring peace, then it's on me to, on the side, the next time, the work I put in myself. Now, if this ever happens again, which usually it will, if you mess up something, it's coming back again. You didn't pass the test.
Yeah.
I prepare myself. It's a strategy that a lot of people don't take advantage of. They'll just think, oh, I'm not going to do that anymore, and then do it again. Oh, I'm not going to do that anymore, and then do it again. Like, if you keep doing it, you can't do the same thing and expect a different result. So you got to come out, insanity. You got to come out and work on you. Work on your responses. Work on how you speak to the person. Work on being able to calm yourself down.
Facial expressions. Get delivered from the facial expressions.
Mm-hmm.
Inappropriate facial expressions.
So you might have the great facial expression, tone, calm, peace that surpasses all understanding. And then guess what? God gets the glory. That's the goal. God gets the glory. And you're probably going to learn some things. You're probably going to hear some things you've never heard before. Like, I honestly heard his pain. I heard his trauma. I heard his need for deliverance. Like, there were things that were always there that I never heard because I was too busy battling my own hurt. God wasn't ignoring my hurt. He just had me deal with my hurt separately so I could bring peace into the conflict. Amen. Amen.